I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to look at the history and impact of the Center for Leadership Development, which is marking its 40th anniversary. We'll talk about beginnings, milestones, and what lies ahead for the Center. My guests are Dennis Bland, President of the Center for Leadership Development, and Kelvin Wade, a Center alum and Director of Visitor Services at IU Methodist Hospital. Please join the conversation. Call us at 866-476-3881. Our email is nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking about the work of the Center for Leadership Development, which is marking its 40th anniversary. We're also going to talk about a new book about the Center for Leadership Development's history. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are, coming back to the show, Dennis Bland, who is president of the Center for Leadership Development, and a newcomer, Kelvin Wade, who is an alum of the Center for Leadership Development. And is also president of the Center for Leadership Development Alumni Group. He's also director of visitor services at IU Methodist Hospital. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for
that. In Dennis's case, welcome back. So we probably ought to start. Congratulations on the 40th anniversary. That is a milestone. Probably ought to start by talking about, Dennis, I'll throw this one to you, about what the Center for Leadership Development is, how it got started, what its role is.
Sure. Again, thank you for having us.
Oh, certainly.
The center was started 40 years ago by some community leaders who said they wanted to create a talent pipeline for African American youth. They were concerned about the challenges in the community and society at the time, but they also saw an opportunity to really help young people dial high in terms of meaningful, high-achieving, aspirational opportunities. And so with that, they started the Center for Leadership Development with the thought of helping young people become business, professional, and community leaders.
And how many people have moved through the roles here in the 40 years?
Sure. We have one flagship program called Self-Discovery Career Exploration Project. Even though we have 15 programs, we have the Self-Discovery as the flagship, and you're considered an alum once you've done that program. So we've had over 15,000 alums go through Self-Discovery alone, and there have been about 30,000 young people who've been touched by the Center for Leadership Development overall.
So that's a good-sized community all by itself.
Yes.
That's a decent-sized suburb all on its own. So, Kelvin, how did you get involved with Center for Leadership Development? Which you're obviously an alum. You've been through, as Dennis just explained, you've made it through the flagship program. Tell me about your journey through the Center for Leadership Development.
Absolutely. I remember it was about 31 years ago, a young teen, and my mother thought that there was an opportunity for me to get engaged with a program that would provide me with a positive experience and some mentoring. And so she took me and signed me up for the Self-Discovery Career Exploration Project. And initially when I went through, I thought, you know, what have I gotten myself into? This is not how I want to spend my afternoons. But the more I kept going back, the more the impact was clear that they were shaping me and preparing me for a better future. And so my experience has been one in which I have grown tremendously, and even to this day, I still continue to benefit from the lessons learned as a young man. And I try to I've gotten my sons involved, and I share that same story with all the young people in my church and the community as I go about my day. So it's been a long road.
In what ways did they shape you, and what were the things that worked? Because I'm sure there are going to be more than a few parents out here, regardless of race, who are going to be saying, okay, if this worked with a young man, maybe we could try some of this too.
Absolutely. I'll give one of the things that I think that any alum that has been through will remember vividly. There's a statement that says in time, on time, every time, except for one a little bit ahead of time, and that's better time. Things like time management, making sure that we have a plan for what our future looks like and how do we get there, you know, mapping that out. You know, these are skills, and these are some of the things that impacted me and helped me to become who I am today.
So other than time management, what are the other skills that they helped you develop?
Well, I think the thing that helped me most was speaking, trying to avoid making certain mistakes when presenting oneself, having confidence. They taught me about planning again. That was critical about, you know, how do I get through college in 4 years? You know, is it something that just happens, or are we intentional about creating a plan, working the plan, exercising discipline? Those are the key lessons that help to shape my future.
I see Dennis over here nodding his head up and down, smile of satisfaction on his face. So 40 years ago, when this all started, obviously this is the kind of outcome you wanted, right? A young man who goes through the program and ends up in a position of leadership and responsibility, and, you know, sounds like it's passing on the lessons he learned there as well. What was the blueprint? I mean, Dennis, when you know, we were looking at getting this started, what did they say? Okay, we're going to try all of these things, or did you have a specific plan in mind?
Well, all credit goes to those founding directors and the founding president, where the blueprint was simply put actualized talent in the same room with potential talent and let actual draw and pull excellence out of potential. Let's put exceptional people in the same room with young people who have not a clue about what these accomplished people have accomplished and how they accomplished it. Let's actually put these individuals, CLD calls them facilitators, let's actually put them in the same room with young people, create an exceptional curricula or program design through which you can tease out the potential in those young people. In fact, call the program Self-Discovery, where over 13 weeks you will actually have young people delving into asking or answering three questions. Who am I? Where am I going? And how will I get there? That has been the blueprint. You put exceptional people, accomplished people who oftentimes have been in the same situation where those young people are, actually have them exploring these three questions and answers to these three questions. And what you begin to end up with are people who say, number one, there is a sense of purpose. There's a sense of regard about self and the meaning and value of my life. There's a sense of direction. This is what I'm going to do with my life. And then there is a sense of how to get it done. You know what you want to do, and now let's talk about how you actually execute it. So Kelvin talked about the plan. CLD is very good about talking to young people, helping them see where they are, and helping them see, and oftentimes in certain situations, that where you are is not good, and then helping them in that case pivot, and then showing them that there is a way, and then this is the way, and then guiding them along that path. That's been the blueprint. And then over the last 40 years, CLD has said, well, if you've had that kind of impact, if you're not interacting with young people until they're in 10th grade, what type of impact can you have if you begin to interact with them in 8th grade and 6th grade and 4th grade? And then what type of impact can you have in terms of dosage if you have multiple programs so you have an opportunity to interact with them and teach them and nurture them in several occasions outside of school as they go from elementary to middle to high school into college? The blueprint has been excellent, and so the CLD has just said over the last several years, let's be intentional about, number one, making sure that there are many more young people who get exposure to these experiences, and then number two, let's continue to make sure we're offering them the richest, most dynamic and impacting experiences we can offer them when we come in contact with them.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Center for Leadership Development. Its work, the CLD, is marking its 40th anniversary this year. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. So Dennis, I'm going to stay with you. You talked about all the credit going to the founders and the early presidents. Who were some of those folks?
Some of the names may be familiar. Joe Slash, who spent a while at the Indianapolis Urban League. Tom King, Eldon Campbell, who was a worked in Eli Lilly and Company. You had Bill West, who was involved very early on. Bill Mays. These are some individuals who were heavily involved, and there was a gentleman by the name of Skylar Otteson, who was then board chair or dean at the School of Business at Indiana University. He served as CLD's initial board chair. And so there were a lot of people who started out on the board, and then there were a lot of people who came alongside Henry Bundles, who was the founding president. They came alongside to help him in making his thoughts and his dreams reality.
Kelvin, how did the relationship, I mean, when you say you went through it 30 years ago, right?
Yes.
30 years. How did the relationship with CLD continue? You know, is it the sort of thing where you develop a relationship with these facilitators and they, in effect, become your mentors as you move on through life?
Absolutely. After completing the program and graduating high school, I actually joined the military. Mm-hmm. And so I was away from the community for a while. Actually, I was out of the country for a great period of time. But when I came back to Indianapolis, the impact of the program was tremendous upon me. It helped me to be successful in the military. I took the same leadership principles that I learned at CLD and applied them in my military career. And so I was always beholden to those individuals that poured into my life, and I felt it was important to do the same for other young people in our community. And so as I got back engaged with the organization, I had the opportunity to serve just by community service opportunities, and then interacting more and more with the individuals who were currently, they were currently in the program, I saw the importance of making a commitment. And so I tried to make sure that any time that there was an opportunity for me to serve, any time there was an opportunity for me to give back any type of opportunity at all, I was happy to do it. And so one of the things that I can highlight is the fact that, you know, not only am I committed, you know, I got my children committed. It's a generational thing. I'll say mm-hmm. that, you know, because, you know, seeing the benefits for myself, I began to get my family members involved, and they get other family members involved. And so it's really it's hard to get away from the organization. Not mm-hmm. that you would want to, but it's such a positive
if you try to run, they will find you.
Exactly. Exactly.
It being the time of year it is, as we're heading into a season when we do give thanks. Is there a mentor from your time that had a particular impact, somebody that you'd like to acknowledge publicly and say thank you?
Absolutely. I remember the impact that Mr. Bundles had upon me and my cousins at the time. We all were participants in the program, and I remember all those the times. He was such a kind man. He was he was disciplined, and he taught me discipline. And so I'm very grateful for the impact that he's made upon me. But I also would extend that to Mr. Bland. And his staff, you know, again, I say that I continue to learn and grow from my interaction with the programs and the leaders there and the exposure to other community leaders that give back to this organization. It's truly been a great experience for me.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the work of the Center for Leadership Development. They have a new book out because it is the 40th anniversary of the Center for Leadership Development. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. That's a toll-free call. You also can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Or finally, you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Dennis Bland, he is the president of the Center for Leadership Development, and Kelvin Wade, a man of many titles. He is a Center for Leadership Development alumnus. He is director of visitor services at IU Methodist Hospital. And in addition to that, he's president of the CLD Alumni Club. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the work of the Center for Leadership Development, which is marking its 40th anniversary. A lot of big dealings with that anniversary. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Dennis Bland, he's president of the Center for Leadership Development, and Kelvin Wade, who's a Center for Leadership Development alum, president, in fact, of the CLD Alumni Group, and is also director of visitor services at IU Methodist Hospital. So, Dennis, 40 is a big number here, a significant milestone. What's the center doing to mark the occasion?
Well, number one, we're marking the occasion by saying thank you to those who made the Center for Leadership Development reality. We had what's called a Minority Achievers Award, where our college partners come together, and they awarded back in March about $3 million in scholarships. But at this event, we had an opportunity to actually say thank you to all the board members who have actually chaired CLD over the 40-year history. We have also had a book launch. In fact, we just had the book launch this past Friday, where we had an opportunity to officially launch the book entitled Intentional Excellence. We've had a celebration of alumni, where we had an alumni gathering, where we had a chance to actually say, let's get together and let's express thanks to the organization and again, to those who made the organization possible through donations, through volunteering of time, and giving of other resources. And then coming up later on, we're actually going to have a celebration where we're going to then say, alumni, let's actually then say thank you. And as a form of thanking, let's actually begin to further engage to see if we can touch more young people. So we don't just want to look at the history. We want to actually use the history as leverage for going forward.
I was going to say, 45,000 alumni, where did you have your alumni gathering? At a football stadium? Or?
Well, that would be neat if they all showed up. We'd find space.
We have a question from a listener named Janet who did not want to go on the air. Says, your show has frequent guests who talk about everything from guns to mental health of kids and others in crime and Indy. How do your guests feel like leadership programs can change some of these outcomes even 40 years later?
I'm actually honored by the question. We did not mention it earlier, but you asked about kind of CLD's approach, and I mentioned the programmatic approach. We're bringing young people in. What I did not mention is really our foundational youth development approach to really building a whole person. The Center for Leadership Development offers a values-based program model. So our entire youth development scheme or approach is built off of the foundational belief that humans tend to live a value system. Good or bad, the things that we value tend to get our most precious endowments. Our energy, our focus, our time, our passion, obviously our dollars. And so in developing the Center for Leadership Development, we're asking a foundational question. What do you value? What gets your interest? And perhaps as importantly, and what would we as a society, what would we want you to value? if we want to develop young people a meaning, a purpose, of significance, they're living lives of consequence and impact, they're actually contributing to society and helping society thrive, they are not felons, they are not committing crime. We say one of the hallmarks of leadership is that the place that you occupy should be enriched by your presence. When you show up, it's the place better, whether that's high school, or is at home, in your neighborhood, in college, is there an enrichment as a result of your showing up? And so CLD offers what's called the CLD Principles for Success. And those principles are character, education, leadership, service, and career. Character development, educational excellence, leadership effectiveness, community service, and career achievement. Now, what does all that mean to the question of your listener? Mm-hmm. We're involved in crime development or crime prevention every day. Anytime you have an opportunity to nurture and cultivate and challenge a young person in a value system that says respect self and respect others, love self and love others, work hard, show diligence, show patience, show resilience, show determination, show deference. Let's learn what these words mean. Let's learn how they apply to life and how using them nets us success and how not having them leads to failure and hurt of self and others. Every time we have an opportunity to actually build young people in that five-pronged value system, then we're feeling like we're not only cultivating them to achieve the highest, but we're also doing our very best to help the community address the crime issue, because we are saying their crime, our character development is some of the greatest crime prevention known to humanity.
Well, and it sounds like you're looking to intervene before all the choices are bad for these kids at that point, right?
Oh, without question. It was Frederick Douglass that says it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Yeah. And so we would much rather make the investment on the front side than actually having the tremendous toll that we pay and that we have to pay as a society on the backside.
We are talking about the Center for Leadership Development, which is marking its 40th anniversary. If you want to join the conversation, please send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, track us down on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Eric has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Eric, you're on the air.
Yes, John. Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, certainly.
Just wanted to say a greeting to Mr. Bland. My name is Eric Holloway, and I met him a few years ago. I'm an alum of the program from late 70s, early 80s, and grew up with many of the Bundles family members. And so I'm just lending my support to the program and endorsement to the program. I, like your panelist, I'm a retired Army veteran, and I do attribute some of the things that I learned in CLD to my success in the military, and I'm a current business person in town here. So I do endorse the program as it has taught me some of the tools that I needed to be successful.
What did you learn from the program that carried over into the other parts of your life?
Well, as was mentioned before, and it's the cornerstone of CLD, in time, on time, every time, except when ahead a little bit ahead of time, and that's better time. So if you look at that as sort of a guiding principle, everything else somewhat falls into place. So as long as you can do those things, you're somewhat ahead of the game. So, that, along with exposure to what I would call today the soft skills of success in a business environment, I would say that CLD was somewhat responsible for me, if not it just hammers it home into something that a young person can take into later life.
Yes, Dennis.
Eric, excuse me. Maybe there's no relation, but does the name Furnace Holloway ring a bell?
That would be my mother.
Okay. This is once again proof that Indianapolis is not a city. It is, in fact, the largest small town in America. Eric, thank you very much for the call and for sharing your story.
My pleasure.
So, Kelvin, after going through the program, you came back and moved into a mentoring role with this. How did your experience as one of those kids that the program helped shape the way that you approach mentoring, you know, succeeding generations of young people?
Mm-hmm. Well, what impacted me greatly and helped me to move forward as I was engaged as a facilitator was when I was a young person, I looked around at many of the men in my community. I looked at the things that I saw in the media. I saw negative images. And so when I interacted with those facilitators and they demonstrated a certain way of conducting themselves and told me a different story about, you know, their successes and how success could be achieved from anyone who applies themselves, that really resonated with me. And so as an adult coming back and giving my time, I wanted to have a story of success to share with these young people and to encourage them that, you know, success is achievable. It's something that you can attain. It takes hard work. It takes dedication. But it's something that we can achieve if we focus hard enough and we work at it. And so I think that was the lesson that I wanted to share. And success can be measured in many ways. Mm-hmm. But I'll borrow from what Mr. Bland had talked about. For me, success is being a good person. It's having character and ethics. Success means that you are who you say you are. And that's a high watermark to hit. But, you know, success can be measured by career. It can be measured in many ways. But I just wanted to make sure that I could tell a story to young people about how they can be the best at what they choose to do.
Something you've said, Kelvin, and I think we have to talk about this, given the origins, the fact that the focus was on helping to develop African-American talent, and you talked about the images in the media and some of the other things. I want to talk a bit about the role that helping these young people develop senses of self-worth and self-esteem plays in this, particularly since often there isn't a whole lot of reinforcement of that in the world. I'm thinking of years ago when I was a reporter for the Indianapolis News, African-American colleague of mine by the name of Derek Stokes came into the newsroom once and was very, very upset and said, "I am just sick of this. The only time I see an African-American male on the front page of my newspaper, the newspaper where I work, he's either wearing a basketball jersey or handcuffs." And, you know, his point obviously was, you know, these are the only contexts in which African-American men seem to matter. I'm not going to argue that that's not the case. There's way too much evidence out there to suggest otherwise. The question I guess I would pose is, what do we do about it? Because you've got the problem of opening doors for these young men, but there's not a whole lot. Opening the door is not going to achieve much if they don't have the wherewithal or the confidence to walk through that door. I'll start with Dennis on that one first.
Sure. I appreciate you raising the issue. Mm-hmm. In terms of what we do about it, I think it is, number one, acknowledging what is, and then number two, asking what experiences are out there that actually serves as a counterbalance. The Center for Leadership Development, to the credit of the individuals who founded the organization, was very intentional about saying, let's deconstruct that paradigm. And in fact, let us create such a broad and deep pipeline of talent that we can begin to influence and change the narrative. And in fact, if you can actually realize your mission by developing young people who become business, professional, and community leaders, then you will have, number one, individuals who are actually thriving. And then you have individuals who then become doctors, lawyers, teachers, writers, journalists, who then have the opportunity to articulate another voice and who have an opportunity to influence the community conversation. And so when we talk about leadership development, and as I said earlier, hallmark of leadership being able to influence positively an environment that you occupy, we're feeling like the more you can equip people with the values of character, education, leadership, service, and career, then the more equipped they will be to actually go and influence the environment in myriad ways that begins to take that environment to one that's negative, to one that's positive, from one that's not inclusive to one that's inclusive. And really, fundamentally, to Kelvin's point, you begin to put more young people into an environment who actually, number one, know how to and have been trained to actually live a life of excellence. But then, number two, who are able to deal with the negative environments, the misleading environments, the negative stereotypes, they're able to deal with that and influence it in such a way so that you end up making positives out of negative situations through the cultivation and the learning that you've received.
Kelvin, how important is this development of self-worth? I mean, when you went through the program, when you were a young African American male, did you think the kind of life you have led was possible for you at first? Or
that's a great question. I can honestly tell you that, you know, I never, as a young man, I never imagined myself where I am today. Again, we need to understand how important these images are that young people see, and they begin to believe that this is my destiny. And interacting with those staff members at CLD helped me to see that, you know, there are different avenues that we can explore. It's not just one road that we can travel. And so as a male who wants to give back to my community, I wanted to demonstrate to young people that, you know, success is something that you can aspire to. It's something that is attainable for you. And so I try to live my life in such a way that creates a positive example for them and encouragement for them and provides them with hope that, you know, we are more than what the images that we see in pop culture. I think that that's important. I think that that was crucial for me because it changed, you know, what my approach was and what I thought my limits were.
What do you hope your sons, you said they have gone through, or are they going through the program right now?
They are both alumni of the program.
Why did you want them to do it, and what did you hope they would get out of it?
Well, for my children, I wanted them to see, you know, not just from the, you know, sometimes being dad, it's easy to think, oh, well, my dad's just riding me. He's just riding me. I wanted them to have the same experience that I had, where they saw other professionals engage with them and tell them about the importance of, you know, taking it seriously. Studying is very important. Educational excellence is critical to success. I wanted them to hear that message from more than just me. I wanted to engage with the organization as partners to get that message out to my children so that they too would begin to take their lives more seriously.
We are talking about the Center for Leadership Development, its work, and its mission. This is the 40th anniversary of the Center for Leadership Development, a a significant milestone. My guests are Dennis Bland, who is president of the Center for Leadership Development, and Kelvin Wade, who is an alumnus of the Center for Leadership Development and president of the CLD Alumni Group. He's also director of visitor services at Indiana University Methodist Hospital. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the work of the Center for Leadership Development. The CLD is marking its 40th anniversary this year. A lot of big doings, including a new book that marked the occasion. My guests are Dennis Bland, he's president of the Center for Leadership Development, and Kelvin Wade, who is an alum of the center and is president of the CLD Alumni Group. He's also director of visitor services at IU Methodist Hospital. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can do what a listener named Amy has done and reach out to us via Twitter. You can find us there at WFYI. Amy, Dennis, apparently is one of the charter members of your fan club. She writes, Dennis Bland is an inspiration to young people, their families, and the community. That's got to feel pretty good to hear.
That's surprising, humbling, actually. I appreciate her kind words.
What drew you to this work?
A call of God, I'm sure. I'm actually a product of the Center for Leadership Development. It started in 1977. I participated in the program in 1982. Mm-hmm. As a student at Broadwell High School. And what I could not have known was that as I was sitting there going through this 13-week program in leadership and self-discovery, I could not have known that I was actually going through this program needing to become very familiar with it, because a few years later I'd be back working in the same organization. And as I began to volunteer at the Center for Leadership Development in 1987, I said, I want to give back. The organization was so good to me. And by the way, what does CLD give? It really skills people up in what successful people do. These are the skills of success. This is how you walk, how you talk, how you dress. Being a great student, you don't just get good grades. There's a skill to actually being an exceptional student, which then results in you doing good work, which gets good grades. A number of students don't understand the skills, and a lot of people who are kind of monitoring them or just saying, go do it, but people aren't taking the time to say, and this is how it's done. We'd like for you to speak well, where someone at CLD is saying, and this is how you speak well. This is how you articulate. This is voice inflection. People are actually taking time. Oh, it's CLD. 2 hours of studying minimally per night. 15 minutes won't cut it. 30 minutes won't cut it. And then the character, the self-concept, the self-respect and self-love, the respect for others. All these things we were learning in CLD, but then as I volunteered more and more, I also came to understand that there was a tremendous disconnect between what society was expecting of young people and what young people actually knew. Mm-hmm. And then there was this, oh, this is a pity, this is a shame, oh, it's really unfortunate, this is the way they're thinking, this is the way young people are behaving. But I did not see was a whole lot of, well, has anyone ever queried as to whether or not they actually understand that this is the standard around which people are expecting behavior? And do young people understand what the criteria are, and have they been trained in this criteria so they can meet this societal standard of achievement? Well, over 40 years, I saw that gap actually expanding between what society was expecting mm-hmm. and what young people actually had. I think a great example of that is in the higher education realm. We have the higher education community saying, this is what we expect mm-hmm. for you to be ready for college. The young people come in and say, I am ready for college, and yet there is this tremendous chasm between what the higher education community expects and versus what the young people actually know. CLD comes along and says, we understand there is a gap, and we want to actually work with the community. We want to help close that gap, eliminate that gap. And as I saw more and more, I felt led to actually say, well, a lot of people express concerns. Is there an opportunity for me to become more deeply entrenched beyond just the volunteering once a week? Is there an opportunity for me to take the full plunge and see if there can there is something I can do to help affect the kind of change that we want to see in society that benefits not just hundreds and hopefully and prayerfully thousands of young people, but ultimately the greatest contribution being that the community in which the young people live are better and stronger and more enriched as a result of these cultivated young people's presence in that community.
And I appreciate the fact that that you want to talk more about the mission than your personal story, but I'm going to try to, you know, part of being a journalist is learning the art of being a polite pest. So I'm going to try to drag you back there because I suspect there are some young people who listen to this right now and, you know, are trying to figure out a path for them that is a meaningful life. So I think telling our stories about, you know, how we arrive, what matters to us and how we got to that point has value to them. So I guess what I'd like to say is you went on a journey there where you started. You said when you did the 13-week program, you had no idea that this is what you wanted to do. What were the things about doing the work that spoke to you so powerfully? What are the satisfactions? Because we live in an age when we talk about work all too often. We talk about the paycheck, and we don't talk about anything else.
The satisfaction, the fulfillment for me was actually being able to somehow find discovery with what seems to be troubling so many people in society. There are so many things that are concerning. You read the newspapers, you see the concerns, you read the editorials, you hear the concerns, or you read the concerns, you listen to programs, you hear people lamenting all the concerns, all the problems. And what I began to see at the Center for Leadership Development by going there once a week is that there really are some solutions. And I'm really seeing that some of these solutions are really not that difficult. They're profound in their effect. But in terms of what young people need, we're actually seeing it play out every day. We're actually see transformation right before us. And seeing the transformation was actually the motivation, because you're actually then getting into this whole sense of fulfillment and satisfaction and actually seeing that there really is, this actually works. So you, because you see it work and you can actually spend 2 hours, 3 hours, 11 hours, 13 hours, go home and actually find it difficult to sleep at night because you've been so enriched by the experience and actually seeing that what young people need, the center is actually providing some solutions. And so much so that then we're motivated to say at the center, well, then how can we scale this? Is it possible to have, since it is working, is it possible to touch earlier students at an earlier age, hence now fourth grade instead of 12th? And can we actually then touch maybe perhaps students, more students throughout the city? And who knows, over the next 40 years, students in other cities and other states. But it works, and that's what motivates me.
Kelvin, how important are the human connections you make through this? I mean, when I hear 45,000 alumni, you know, between 15 and 45, depending upon how you define them, that's a significant network. I mean, do you guys work with each other, you know, look out for each other, do the kinds of things that networks generally do, or, you know, I prefer the old-fashioned term communities often do for each other?
Yes. Well, as a community of alumni, I think that connection is really critical, not just for reaching out to the young people and demonstrating how important the tools that they're armed with at CLD, how those can really make a great impact on them. But even as an adult, I work in an environment where I run into people who are I've seen them at the meetings quite frequently, and you know that we continue to encourage one another. We hold one another to high standards, and that's something that I again continues to pay dividends in my right here and right now, knowing that I still have a responsibility to live out those core principles that Mr. Bland talked about, character development and educational excellence and leadership effectiveness, community service and career achievement. Those things really mean something, and we really, really want to live those out in our daily lives. And so when we interact with one another, we encourage one another to continue to live that mission.
We are talking about the Center for Leadership Development, which is marking its 40th anniversary. If you want to join the conversation, please send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what a listener named Paul has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Paul Sinclair, and I happen to be listening to this station, and I agree totally with what's been said in regards to reaching out to black males. But one of the hardest things that I'm finding out, being a black male as well as an educator, an artist, photographer, is that we feel sometimes that we're pigeonholed in regards to what we can do and cannot to do. And occasionally when we want to think about doing something that is not the norm for our culture, we have the tendency to put each other down simply because you're being different. And why do you want to be, as they say, in some cases, white, rather than realizing that when God created us, he gave us all these abilities to do anything and everything we want, as opposed to some of the limitations that, first of all, we place on each other, but secondly, thinking that there are specific guidelines as a human that you have to follow, as opposed to realizing that there are no guidelines. It's if this is your skill, this is your desire, pursue it.
Is there, could you give an example of what you mean by, you know, since you use the term doing something that is perceived to be white rather than black, because I think it'll help listeners who aren't as familiar with what you're talking about understand specifically what we're talking about here.
Okay, I'll give you a good example and generalization. 2013, I was part of a group that went to Mount Everest, and we climbed to base camp, and I saw two other people who looked like me. But when I got back and I talked to people about this, the first question was, wasn't it cold? And that was pretty high. And I said, yeah, it was. But if people live in that area, then obviously it's a habitat that can be pursued by people. Therefore, there shouldn't be any limitations in regards to who wants to pursue something like that, as opposed to saying that, well, that's not what we do. Why would you want to do that?
Oh, so people were implying that a black man shouldn't be a mountain climber or something like that, right?
Because aren't known for having done those things.
Yeah. Well, relatively few people on the planet are known for having done that. So I can congratulate you. Thanks very much for the call and for the point. Kelvin.
Well, as I listened to the caller, I wanted to explain that my experience with CLD helped to prepare me for my career in the military. I was a part of some units that I was the only African-American, and oftentimes, you know, it was those lessons I learned in CLD that gave me the confidence to build bridges across some of the cultural divides. One of the things that I'll speak to the program even now is that it's, although it was originally intended for African Americans, there are a cornucopia of individuals that participate and benefit from the program. And so the lessons that helped to shape and grow me also helped to grow other individuals to build bridges between cultures and to explore whatever that thing is you want to do. For me personally, after I got out of the military, you know, it still stuck with me, the lessons about educational excellence and pursuing those goals. And so I applied myself to finishing my degree. And so I've really benefited from just understanding that, you know, my limits are what I allow them to be. And so I don't approach life as, you know, as a black man, I'm supposed to do this or I'm supposed to do that. I don't allow myself to be defined by the color of my skin, but by the content of my character.
Yeah, I remember, there's a book, and I cannot remember the title once, but the line is right now. But the line has stuck in my head ever since I read it probably 40 years ago. And that line is, argue for your limitations, and you get to keep them. I'm going to want to talk a little bit. Kelvin mentioned, Dennis, that the program has opened up. We've talked an awful lot about the strengths of this program, and I've been remiss here as an interviewer. If there are young people who would like to be part of this, how do they go about doing that?
Sure, it's easy. Go to our website at cldinc.org, cldinc.org, or we can call at 923-8111, area code 317-923-8111. You see the list of programs. It's easy to sign up.
And is there a cost involved for going through the program? And if so, how much is it?
On average, a program will cost $20 to $25. Our 13-week leadership program costs $25, for example, so very nominal.
So there's a lot of philanthropy, obviously, that is supporting those efforts, because there's no way you're educating. How many people, when they go through the 13-week program, how many kids would be part of a group, or are they individual sessions?
We run once a semester, and each semester we'll have between 250 and 300 high schoolers go through. So about 550, 600 a year go through self-discovery.
So it's $20 to $25, and even if you're in a circumstance, it sounds like you're saying, if you're in a circumstance where even that is a hurdle you can't get past, there's a way to avoid that cost?
There is. There's essentially scholarships for up to five people in a class if someone cannot pay the $25 cost.
Okay. We've got a little bit less than a minute left. Real quickly, what's ahead for the center? You've knocked off the first 40. What lies ahead for it?
We want to give the young people of Indianapolis access to one of the most exceptional, holistic youth development programs in the nation, dedicated to helping young people love themselves, find their purpose, and excel to the highest levels of their God-given abilities.
Well, that, I think, is probably a pretty good last word, a great note for us to end on. I'd like to thank my guests, Dennis Bland, president of the Center for Leadership Development, and Kelvin Wade, who is a CLD alum and president of the center's alumni group. He's also director of visitor services at IU Methodist Hospital. I'd like to thank both of you gentlemen. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Also, like to thank our listeners for some great questions and comments. As always, you help to make the conversation flow, and I'll say this because it is a season to express thanks. I'm always thankful that I have the smartest audience in radio. You left every discussion. We will be back on Tuesday, when we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving and food, what you can prepare for that great big meal. I am John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's Public Broadcasting Stations.